In the book of Revelation, in the very first chapter, we read, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, Amen." This single verse contains several important insights, but the main thought, without a doubt, is that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth, and it will be no small event. The truth is affirmed in the New Testament again and again. Some people would suggest that the idea of the return of Jesus is a kind of fringe doctrine, suited to weird people who have little going on in their lives and they spend their days waiting for Jesus to come and take them away from all their troubles and miseries. They suppose that serious, intelligent, and truly spiritual Christians will not and should not pay much attention to Jesus' return. They'll be so busy praying, evangelizing, and making the world a better place, they'll have neither the time nor the desire to eagerly watch for or hope for Jesus to come and take us away from here. This idea could not be any further from the truth. The doctrine of the return of Jesus Christ is so central to the New Testament scriptures, you wonder how anyone would have the audacity to either mock Jesus' return, ignore it, or suggest that it is of no importance to serious Christians. The two greatest proponents of Christ's return would be the Lord Jesus himself and the Apostle Paul. Jesus told his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Apostle Paul, mighty evangelist and brilliant teacher that he was not hesitant to announce the return of Jesus, writing, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And in the book of Revelation, we read, "Behold, he is coming with clouds." Starting out with the word "behold," John is telling us, pay attention, for when Jesus comes back to the earth, it's going to be awesome. Even the angels preached the return of Jesus. After our Lord ascended to heaven, the disciples were lost in reverie at the dramatic event they had just witnessed, and somehow they could not keep from staring into the sky where they had last seen Jesus. Two angels dressed in white told them that there was no point looking any longer, saying, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." This idea that the doctrine of the return of Jesus is for simple people, foolish people, those lacking gravitas, could not be more absurd. God says it over and over again, through every writer of the New Testament and through Jesus himself. Jesus is coming back, and we should live like it could happen today. Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." This doctrine is so plain, so frequent, and so unmistakable, there is no excuse for any pastor, any Bible teacher, any Christian podcaster, or even any Sunday school teacher not to ever teach it or mention it. And yet, sadly, there are some churches you could attend for 20 years and never hear a single mention of the return of Jesus. Let's get back to the verse where we began this study. The verse tells us Jesus will come with clouds. Why clouds? I cannot pretend to understand all that this means, but two thoughts come to mind. In the days of Moses, there were clouds that accompanied the manifestations of God in the tabernacle. The clouds indicated that the God of glory was present and had something to say. And secondly, we find that Daniel prophesied that the Messiah would come with clouds. As he declared in Daniel 7, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven." Once again, we have the word "behold." And once again, we have the idea of the Messiah coming with clouds. It will be a glorious day when Jesus returns to this earth to take his place as its rightful ruler. The next part of the verse might cause confusion for some, for we're told that every eye shall see him. Some might say, "Now wait a minute, isn't Jesus coming back to the earth to catch his people away secretly in an event we call the rapture? Isn't that a secret event where those who are not taken will not see anything or be able to understand why some people are gone and others are left behind? How can John say that every eye will see him?" This gets a little complicated, but in the minds of many who study Bible prophecy, myself included, the return of Jesus will likely occur in two parts. You might call these parts Jesus' Return Part A and Jesus' Return Part B. We see the first stage of the return of our Lord in an event we call the rapture. This is where Jesus draws his people into heaven to be with him. Paul describes this with these words, "We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Elsewhere, Jesus warns of terrible tribulation that will come on the earth in the last days and says, "Watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." But at this time, there's no indication that Jesus will actually return to this earth. Rather than him coming down here, we'll be going up to be with our Lord. After that, there appears to be a time of tribulation described in the book of Revelation and by the Lord Jesus in the Gospels. At this time, there'll be wars, calamities, and misery such as the world has never seen before. Jesus warns, "Then there'll be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." In the book of Revelation, we read of a horrific time of death and destruction affecting the whole earth. John writes, at one point, "The four angels who'd been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind." This speaks of death and destruction on a scale the world has never seen in its history. At the second coming of Christ, Part B, as we understand it, Jesus comes back to the earth and puts an end to all the death and chaos and war and rules over the earth. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, John sees a vision of Jesus' return as he comes as a warrior on a white horse. John writes, "Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron." Paul describes this event in his second epistle to the Thessalonians, where he writes, "The Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." And Zechariah prophesies, "In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth." This momentous event will spell an end to the terrible evil that will engulf our world in the final days before Jesus returns. This time, he'll not be born in an obscure manger in Bethlehem. At this second appearance, every eye will see him, and all the wicked, Christ-rejecting sinners will be gripped with a terrible fear, realizing that they have based their lives and opinions and values and ideologies on a lie. And thus the Bible says, all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. It is at this Part B of Jesus' second coming that every eye will see him. It will not matter whether you live in North America, South America, Africa, Asia, or anywhere else. The coming of Jesus will be known and seen by all. Nobody will have to tell you that Jesus has returned. You won't have to read about it on social media. Jesus declares, "For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day." We have a great multitude of biblical witnesses to the return of Jesus. Daniel and Zechariah wrote of this. Paul and Peter did as well. Even angels testified that this same Jesus who ascended into the heavens would one day return. And of course, our Lord Jesus constantly assured his disciples that his departure was only temporary, saying things like, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." This incredible and momentous event is as sure as the sun rising in the morning. In God's perfect time, our Savior